Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pony's not here right now, which is interesting, Don, because Pony is fully intending to participate in today's show. There's a reason he's not here right now, though, and there's a reason I am delaying getting to what Cam Hayward had to say there and extrapolating meaning. It's because Andrew Filippone might be the last person on the planet who does the following. Uses the GPS that now comes equipped with his very nice newer SUV, uses the GPS that is within the car and is not like on his phone. And then also, and I'll throw this app under the bus because I don't use it, so I don't care, piggybacks the car navigation with the Waze app. I use Google Maps, Don, and I feel like it's a big win for Big Google today to start the show. We're out here at Studio B. There is obviously some Squirrel Hill tunnel construction going on. That can be a snarled mess no matter what time of day. And what happened today? I said to our boss, Craig, Content Craig, I said, guess what? It's 1:05. I'm leaving for Studio B, even though my GPS says 39 minutes. I've seen this movie before. I know how this goes. Clear sailing all the way down through the Fort Pitt tunnels, down the parkway, riding right down the river. GPS says, Mulsey, get off the highway, Forbes Avenue. You're winding through Oakland. You're going through Greenfield. Sean Gentile might pop out at any moment. Mike McCarthy might just be around somewhere. You're bypassing that hellish stretch of the Parkway East outbound before the tunnels to get on right before the tunnel. Got here at 1:40, Don. All good. Andrew Filippone, as I am pulling back onto the highway, I call him up. I hear a sad-sounding laugh, and Pony say, Mulsey, I knew you were going to call me. How does this always happen to us? To which I would now say on the air, happens to you, brother. Doesn't always happen to me. He left 5 or 10 minutes after me. He followed those two sources of mapping, Don, and neither one of them ever told him to get off the highway. And here we sit, Pony now, I think, only he's now only one for his last three Bowser Chevrolet shows being here on time to start the show. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could have just stayed on the air. That would have helped you guys both out, but you fortunately got there on time, so that didn't need to happen this time around.
It's like Highlights, Donnie, it's like Highlights Magazine. You ever read that as a kid? Did they have that when you were growing up?
Yes.
It's like Goofus and Gallant. I'm Gallant, he's Goofus.
And I almost feel like a parent to him at times, and especially today, because he popped in during one of the breaks. Like we had just taken a break around 1 p.m., and it's like 1:10 or something. And I said, Pony, you better get moving. Like the last two times you have either been late or it's been cut very, very close getting out there. And he gave like the, yeah, I'm going. And sure enough, here we are, you and I talking to each other right now, almost an hour later, and he is not yet on the air.
He is on the premises. He's just walked in the door. I'll tell you this much. It went from, Mulsey, my GPS is telling me 221 to, Mulsey, it's 210. And now he's going to walk in and be on the air by about 208, Don. That tells me one thing. He's mad enough that he did something he never does, and that's he sped to get here once he got through the tunnels.
Yeah, that's something.
He never cuts time off. He drives like Miss Daisy. It's like watching your grandmother drive. 55 miles an hour at all times. He must have sped. He is beat red right now, not from exhaustion, but from embarrassment. He cannot believe this happened to him again. And he, as our YouTube commenters, before I turn the reins back over, as our YouTube commenters pointed out, he loves to include us and we in these situations when they are very much only afflicting him. Pony, how are you, buddy?
I'd rather have gonorrhea than live on the east side of town here. It's unbelievable, dude.
And I crushed you. You got to use Google Maps.
I was very diligent about, while I was getting stuff done at work, having my GPS app on my phone open the whole time.
The problem is you have the wrong app. You got to go Google Maps now.
I was told for years Waze is the way to go.
By
Waze
who?
Tells you about police. Waze tells you
Google Maps
the latest traffic.
Too.
It's being updated by users constantly.
Google Maps stole that from them and uses it now too.
Yeah, I'm done with it. I've already deleted it off my phone.
Good. I mean, you know what? This is like Mike Tomlin calling a bad defense and realizing he can't call it ever again. I applaud your ability to change here on the fly.
I honestly love this place. I love Studio
it's
B.
It's the best place to broadcast.
I absolutely hate
outside
the commute
studio.
Every time.
Yeah.
And why in the world they're doing, why is it closed right now? Why are they shutting down a lane of the Squirrel Hill Tunnel at 2:00 on a Thursday?
I know.
Isn't that like a,
that's when rush hour's starting.
Yes, we're going to shut it down from 8 p.m. and the guys are going to work overnight until like 5 a.m. the next day. That's when you do it.
Unless, yeah, you do like the old 11 to 4 a.m. or something, or 10 to 4 a.m. and you just shut the whole thing
unless
down.
Unless it has to be shut down because that side of the road itself is non-functional because of the construction you're doing. To have it, like, I still don't even know what it was closed for. Did you go through it?
Yeah, I did.
There's guys, like, putting cones out.
I know.
On the other side of the tunnel, but there's enough space from the tunnel exit to where they were working. I don't know. Sorry. No one probably wants to hear me say this.
I don't know. People like these little tales. That's why we played the Cam Hayward clip. I even did one of the I did the text line for you for the first hour of the show.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to make sure.
But Donnie called it. I went in and said goodbye to him. He goes, "You're not going to get there in time."
Pony.
That's exactly what he said to me.
Pony.
Didn't you, Donnie? You said, "You're screwed. You're not going to
be on the air." I feel like a parent in this situation.
Oh, yeah. I said it's like Goofus and Gallant from Highlights Magazine. I'm Gallant. You're Goofus here. You didn't use the right app. Here's the worst part. I got on the highway, and it was actually remarkably quick sailing down to the Fort Pitt tunnels. Really, this will be the last traffic update of the day from this show. And I'm like, man, this is nice. But I was still wary. I see the traffic build way back by the Forbes Avenue exit.
Yeah.
And my GPS told me to get off the ramp. I could have called you right then and there, but I already knew it was too late for you.
Yep.
And I knew this was going to happen, but you know what? We put it behind us. We play the next down here, and we try to get a positive gain. We got Cam Hayward talking about Dan Rooney was the only person. I didn't know Casey Hampton had a fear of flying.
I didn't either. We're going to treat this like a pre-show, like they do on the morning show, and come back, and then we'll reset Hayward, and we'll go from there. Texas, you already did that. Thank you.
I always like to talk about when I first got drafted, he Skyped me from Ireland, just welcoming me. Mr. Rooney was one of a kind. He was the only person that could get Casey in the plane with him. And they'd go on like private flights together and, you know, hearing those stories about Mr. Rooney. You know, he was always just genuine, authentic, and cared about everybody.
All right, take two on the start of the show. Now that I've arrived, now that I'm no longer red hot, pissed off.
Well, you're still
pissed off. You're right. I am. That's I'm okay. Lying. I'm just trying to compartmentalize.
Oh, I just can't wait for it to bleed over into some of your arguments. There's going to be at least one incident today where we're having a normal discussion and you just snap on me and I'll just laugh.
And maybe if we're lucky, it's on Jason Mackey, who's set to join us from Ireland in about 15 minutes. Take it out on him, possibly. All right. Hayward there.
Yep.
Here's what I want to get to from you guys. Does this feel like more than just a regular season game? Because the players are definitely sounding that way. Tomlin made it sound that way when he was talking about, you know, the Ambassador Rooney and the lifelong dream of him and the family to have a regular season game played over there. And for it to be the first game ever played in Ireland, regular season game, because the Steelers have played exhibitions over there. But for the first real game to take place there, the Steelers are in it. And I've said for months, I really, truly believe this. And people outside listening right now who are maybe fighting the same traffic I did that are in an ornery mood might disagree with this to some extent. I really think it's the game the Steelers want to win this year. I think if they win this game in Ireland, I think Art, and I think probably his son Dan, would rank this as one of the best Steelers wins ever. Just because of the unique set of circumstances here.
How much do sentimental wins count versus like the ones that maybe win you something tangible in terms of the standings, like separating those two? Because, I mean, it's very much a sentiment win.
No doubt. I mean, would you not say, even though it didn't...
Let me ask you this. Actually, I have a way to talk about two games that both had stakes, but one had, I think, a much more sentimental storyline.
Right.
What Super Bowl is more meaningful to a lot of Steelers fans, 40 or 43? One is Jerome's last ride in his hometown, and the other one is, admittedly, an all-time great fourth quarter and ending.
Yeah, that's a tough one to choose from.
But that's what I'm trying to get to here.
I know what you're saying. Well, I'll just put it this way, to flip it on you, to answer a question with a question. If they had to rank all-time Steelers wins that they've been a part of, Art Rooney too, his owner, do you think winning in Ireland in his grandfather and father's old country against the Vikings would mean more than, I don't know, when they beat the Dolphins in the wild card game in Pittsburgh back in 2016?
Would it mean more to me or would it mean more
to them?
To them?
To them, I'm talking about.
Pool.
A random wild card game that didn't end in a season. Where
do you know why it would mean more to win this one? Because when they won that wild card game back then, they probably had no idea as an organization that they would win another. They'd win one more, and that was it.
So what I'm trying to explain to people is this situation where I think for the organization itself, this is likely to be the biggest game they play all year. But I don't think that's necessarily true for fans unless you're A, going to this game, or B, you're so into your own Irish pride, or you like revere the Rooney family so much that it means a lot to you as a fan that they as a family would get to celebrate a win in this situation. All wins are not created equally. They are in the standings, although that's not even true because of tiebreakers and the division games mean a lot more. But this just, the way that they could have taken if they wanted to. They could have said Mike Tomlin and Cam Hayward, this is just another game. This is a business trip. We're going to Ireland to win. Nothing different. But they are playing to the sentimental part of this and the emotional and like the win won for the Gipper aspect of this game. Like, they're treating it like a personal Super Bowl, Chris.
Well, that also could be a motivational tactic right now just to make sure you get the absolute best out of a team, because they probably know it's a pivotal game in a very tangible sense for this season. You win and you're 3-1, even if there are people like me saying, man, how much have you really done? How good really are you? Which is a conversation we've had many years in recent times about the Steelers when they've.
I mean, does them winning a game in Ireland mean anything to you?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
No. I mean, I think it's cool that they're playing there, and I'm trying to like put myself in, let's say, Danny, you know, younger Dan Rooney's shoes, Danny Rooney's shoes. He's a couple years younger than me. Like, I imagine that has a lot of like sentimental value to him, even maybe more than it does in a weird way.
I could see them crying. I think if they win, yeah. Tomlin gives Art Rooney a game ball afterwards in a locker room in Ireland, I think he'd cry. And he doesn't strike me as he's a pretty stoic guy, but he's going to think about his dad and his grandfather and their roots over there.
I think the thing that would be telling is how much you could decipher it meant to, like, it means to Mike. Like, because, you know, Dan Rooney's the guy who hires him, who gives him his big break, who backs him. He has and runs the franchise at that point and sets the culture that makes it so that Mike Tomlin has probably the safest job in professional sports.
Yep.
I'd love to know how much Mike, like, this means to him.
I would say
of the family
a ton.
Members.
I would say an absolute ton. Everybody wants to make their bosses happy. He knows how much this game means to his boss. Bosses.
But I think I think when he thinks about Dan Rooney, it's probably like the late
too.
Dan Rooney. It's more, but it's more than I want to do this for my late boss. I bet you he doesn't think of him as a boss so much as
a friend or a mentor,
almost like a family, like an elder
sure.
family member.
Absolutely.
So I would love to know that part of it. And you know what? Not that you'll be able to tell on game day. Like, they're not going to, like, you know, hide stuff like a team would in college football against an FCS team or empty the playbook.
Yes.
But I think
they will.
Well, I do think you'll get a sense for how Mike coaches the game if he feels like it's the most important win to get of the season, right?
Right.
Like in the Super Bowl, hypothetically, would be that for any other team or a playoff game where it's single limb.
Yep.
Then I think you'd see him coach ultra aggressively here to try to win the game at all costs.
Like if you think about their last trip there, they lollygagged. They were sleepwalking. They lost to Minnesota in London.
It was a very desultory effort.
Yes. And they were 0-3, and they were desperate, and they still looked like they were sleep-deprived and lethargic and all those things. And that's where all the questions this week about the timing of going over there have come back into play, because even though it's 12 years later, Steelers fans have long memories and remember that. Because of what we're talking about here, the emotional tie-in to this game being played there, it is very difficult for me to picture them coming out of this game flat. Right? I mean,
so I think you're going to get like the rare Mike Tomlin Steelers team comes out flying in the first
quarter.
Don't
you think? I mean, it's rumored. I think this is, I don't know if this is rumored or reporting, if someone has actually printed this, but at least it's been rumored that Art talked to the team this week about how important this game is to his family. When else does he do that?
Would you?
Did he go in before the Baltimore game and say, all right, guys, you know, we haven't won a playoff game since 2000. Like, I can't.
You think I would kill to have been a fly on the wall if that actually happened?
Like, I don't think it was a fire and brimstone speech so much. I don't think he's capable of that. But he let the players know that this win, this game means like everything to him.
Well, I guess you'd find out by their performance how much reverence they hold him in. Or how, like, if he's viewed even close to the same way his father was viewed, you get that if that speech happened,
yeah,
and they come out flat as a pancake, doesn't really reflect well on how much like he would be how his view is or the team views him. I should say, I think they're probably going to come out and treat this like certainly the biggest regular season game in years. I expect them to coach a little more aggressively as a result. And, yeah, I think you wouldn't even have to give Art truth serum for him to say, I would rather win this game over any of the other 17 or 16 games on the schedule.
Yeah.
And depending on who the playoff game would be against, if they won a wild card game, I think if they beat, like, a really good team, he'd take that. But if they beat a haggard, beleaguered, injured, I don't know, the Colts or somebody has, like, a stunning season and then they get hurt late in the year. Mm-hmm. Jones is – you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like some sort of team where you're like, there's a caveat here. I think he would take this over that.
I think that it doesn't divide Steelers fans, like, in a derisive kind of negative way. But I definitely think that it separates – the backgrounds of Steelers fans incredibly.
Well, I think it's a referendum on how much the Rooneys still hold sway, too, because I think Art has been a popular and understandable target of a lot of derision lately.
Well, I'm talking more about, yes, that's, but people get nostalgic about Dan and thinking about, like, him looking down, like Tomlin said, on them winning the game. And also, like, you have definitely run in these circles. You know what I'm talking about. Like, you've been to bars around St. Patrick's Day in Pittsburgh, and you know how people like to play up their Irish heritage and Irish background. There will absolutely be people throughout Pittsburgh who are dressed head to toe in green with some kind of Pittsburgh or Steelers paraphernalia on there, too, who will, like, you know, kiss a Blarney stone or like rub their shamrock tattoo or something like that before the game and treat this like it is some kind of all important game.
I know there are
those people definitely exist.
There are people who have the black and gold clover with DMR tattooed on their bodies in this town. There's no doubt.
I think our friend Big Ed does.
Yeah, I think he's
Ed Vega, who has two signature tattoos, that one and then the PM team. Tattoo.
Which is just a legendary maneuver by
that moved him ahead of Jeff in South Park on our charts.
I always forget that Jeff is number two because Big Ed Vega surpassed him as the ultimate number one. Jeff saying if we could just work the PM team motif into a stormtrooper helmet, he would do it.
All right, Jason Mackey's over there. I feel like he's been there since Labor Day. And he's going to join us next. We'll see if we can.
He's actually at the citizenship office. He's going to be a dual citizen.
We're going to see if we can make it work technologically. Some reporting. Again, we've got Steelers insiders and media members in this town who have beaten the Steelers to Dublin, who are there before the Steelers even get there. Jason is one of them. He joins us next. And then Pomp is scheduled to join us at 3:15. That would be 8:15. Oh, that's Dublin
pub,
time.
That's
you think?
Called pub time, my friend. Dude, dude, have another Guinness.
And Donnie, don't you think Pop's getting recognized up and down Dublin? Don't you think that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and he's shooting the finger guns. Hey, how you doing?
Who is he, Shooter McGavin?
Well, it's like when Pomp's going through the gym, he's probably wearing a nice polo. And he's getting like, hey, Bob Pompiani. Well, it's probably some like idiot like me who's out there with a Yinzer accent.
Well, I think Lisa went with him, so I think he's enjoying these couple
it's
of days.
It's 8:15 at night. He's still saying, top of the morning to you. He's still doing it. He's working in all the Irish.
And that Guinness is good. We're going to talk about that. And your call is at 412-928-9370.
Somebody stole.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Me, Lucky Charm.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's head to Ireland and talk to the Post-Gazette's Jason Mackey, who's been there since Labor Day. And he's brought to you by Westminster College, where every student accepted for fall 2026 is guaranteed a scholarship. One of the first to touch down in Dublin, taking in the sights and sounds and being around some of the Steelers' coordinated events there as they try to build both their brand and spread football's popularity over to Ireland in the build-up and lead-up to this game. Bob Pompiani also there, scheduled to join us at 3:15 when he may or may not be drunk for the interview. Jason, are you sober right now?
I'm good, although I'm sitting two seats down from Pomp, so maybe I can influence him. We're at the Steelers media dinner in the same place, so maybe I can go buy him a drink or two and get him nice and liquored up for you guys.
What was the main course at the media dinner? What are you eating over
It wasn't
there?
That baked bean crap again for breakfast, was it?
It was not, but how about that, huh? I didn't realize that until I got over. They eat baked beans for breakfast. It's weird, but so we're post-appetizer, pre-main course. I have a steak coming. There was a chicken option, a cod tail, which I didn't understand, and a vegetarian option. I went steak.
Mosey, what do you think of that call? I think it's the right one.
I think it's the right one if you don't know how it is. I think
how the chicken's going to be prepared,
you know,
is
what,
always
though?
A
I'm
shot
willing,
in the dark.
I'm willing to bet over there in Europe, grass-fed beef, I bet, so it's going to taste a little different.
And better?
Yeah, much richer.
I'm with Mosey. I'm curious how they cook steak
over
here.
What is Bob drinking? Is Bob drinking a Guinness like
no,
he should, or is he drinking
wine.
Is he drinking just red wine?
No, he's drinking some sort of mixed drink. I didn't
a martini.
Martini.
I'm having a Caipirinha.
Some sort of fancy martini. I had a Guinness. Most of us are drinking Guinness, but Bob had
does
some sort of
fancy. Does it taste better over there?
It really does. I feel like a cliche saying that, Andrew. It honest to God does. I've had Guinness every day I've been over here. I was just telling somebody I want to drink more Guinness in the States. It really is just incredible over here.
We are looking at some of the Irish expressions because we figured Bob would get drunk and say things like top of the morning to Steelers fans over there on the streets of Dublin. Has anyone come up to you and said they're sucking diesel yet?
No. Is that an expression?
Yes. It means that things are going well or progressing smoothly.
How about
sucking diesel?
That doesn't seem like it makes sense. But
I don't know.
Sucking diesel, I feel like that would be a struggle. Like you're having a tough time.
I thought the same thing.
This one's got me on tilt how to say this word. What's the crake? The crack? C-R-A-I-C?
Chris, I got in a discussion with somebody today on my trip to Northern Ireland about that. I had never heard that.
What's
and I didn't
the actual
understand
word?
It.
How is it pronounced?
I still don't think he knows.
It's crack.
What's the crack?
It's like, what's the crack?
So it's like, what is that slang for?
It is like, what's going on? What's the news?
So I would walk up to Pony latest? On the street and be like, hey, Pony, what's the crack?
Right. That's exactly what you would say. Or like, did you hear the crack? Or you know, like, oh, this is the crack. Like, this is the latest.
Version of what's the word, hummingbird, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good analogy. But it's spelled differently. It's C-R-A-I-K, I believe.
Jason,
I've never heard it. Somebody said it.
I'm going to give you a hypothetical. You're around the Steelers. You know how much this trip means to them. They get two options. Jeannie comes to them and says, you can either sweep the Ravens and get blown out by Minnesota in Dublin or split with the Ravens and beat Minnesota. What do you think they'd pick?
Probably the beat Minnesota one.
I agree. I think they want this game more than any game on their schedule this year. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I was the trip I was referencing was up to Northern Ireland with Dan Rooney and the team and covering all ends of this. Like, this means an incredible deal. I mean, not that they want to, like, you know, I don't want to prop it up that they're like willing to lose regular season games over it, but yeah. In your hypothetical, this means a lot to them. I think they really want to have a good showing here on Sunday.
It's not just a regular season game to them.
It's not, man. It's not. They're not treating it like it. It doesn't mean that much. I mean, I learned today the depth of what this meant to Dan Rooney Sr. I mean, it's this has been a long time coming, man. It really has. And, like, I'm happy for them. I think it's a cool thing. I think it's a great link that they're making. I mean, I know there's an on-field, you know, discussion. But, like, this means a ton to them organizationally.
What is something you learned and have learned, I should say, in your time over there and with the people you've spoken to about how much this means to Dan Rooney that you didn't know before? An interesting fact or something like that about the late Dan Rooney's connection to all of this?
I'm actually going to go with this, Chris. I was talking to Dan Jr. today. I went to a high school. They donated some money and like a couple scholarships and some money to the school. Dan Jr. was talking about like wanting to do this again, wanting to have some sort of like consistent link to Ireland, and like feeling like he's carrying on some sort of legacy, like from Dan Sr. to Art II to Dan Jr. Like I knew that it existed, but like how aggressively they view this as almost like something that you will down in a family. That they, you know, feel an obligation to have a relationship with Ireland and put a product on the field over here. And that's why I said the thing about, you know, feeling like Sunday means maybe more to them than a regular season game, because I think it does.
Minnesota has a huge, huge fan base over in Europe. One of their reporters told me today that even the 2013 game with the Steelers, Vikings fans have had the majority of fans at every European game they've played in, including next week when Cleveland's the home team, but they have more tickets sold for the game. I don't mean that'll be the case, but what do you think, based on walking the street there, the fan split, will it feel like a neutral site game
so
on Sunday?
That's an interesting thing you bring up, Andrew. I was at the NFL shop yesterday, staked out for a while, talking to fans, and I was surprised by how many Vikings fans I saw, and that was actually a topic of conversation with a few people about like what that's going to be. I don't think it's going to be 50-50, but I think it's going to be closer than we anticipate. Like, I came over here thinking like this is going to be some sort of Steelers takeover in Dublin. Like, everywhere you go, it's just going to be, you know, people are all into the Steelers. There's a lot of Vikings stuff around here, like outside of a Vikings bar and all that. Like, there's a heavy Vikings presence. I didn't realize how big the Vikings are in Europe. Like, obviously, there's a lot of
Steelers.
You've never
read about Eric the Red? Leif Erikson? Come on, the Vikings have been huge in Europe for about 1,000 years.
Didn't they try to eradicate them? They were bad dudes, man.
The Vikings, they pillaged. Ever pillage?
All right, Jason, get back to your nice dinner. Let us know how the steak goes, and let us know what Pomp ordered, too.
I will. All good right, talk, guys. You. Take care.
Jason Mackey.
Leif Erikson was bad news. Eric the Red.
The best ever was when I went to the Steelers media dinner and sat next to Kabali, and I had a horrible migraine.
Wasn't that the time where all of my crap talk on Bob Labriola was kind of coming back?
Yes, and he was like the Don at the top of the stairs at the restaurant. He wouldn't shake my hand.
Oh, no.
And Kabali sat next to me, and they have Grater's ice cream in Cincinnati. They're
awesome
like known
stuff.
For it. This black raspberry
it's
with
phenomenal.
Chocolate chips. And I just had such a migraine, I couldn't eat it. And it was, like, melting in front of us. And, like, Kabali was he's like, you're not eating
that? Is he like tugging at his collar, sweating, wondering if you were going to eat it?
And I'm not this is not a comment on Mark's appearance or anything like that. He was just, I think, disappointed in me.
Because he knew how good it was.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been disappointed in you. I would have just felt bad for you. Because do you remember, were we working together? Randomly, Graders did like an endorsement with me or sent me a bunch of product for no apparent reason.
You know why that is, Donnie? What has he got again?
He has endorsements coming out of the pores.
Oh, okay.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.